Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast. In this episode, we dive into the unsettling case of Jennifer Farber Dulos, who vanished on May 24, 2019. Amidst a divorce and custody battle, her estranged husband, Fotis Dulos, and his partner, Michelle Trokinis, became the center of a shocking conspiracy. Today, we bring you up to the moment coverage from the courtroom as Trokinis faces trial, accused of a role in this presumed murder.
Did you notice any blood-like substances inside the home while you were having lunch or prior to picking up the children?
No.
Approximately how long did it take to eat lunch?
Like 20-ish minutes. We were pretty fast.
After you were finished eating lunch, what did you do?
The kids went and like got their iPads for the car ride, and I just like cleaned up quickly, put everything away, and then I texted Jennifer because Noelle couldn't find hers, and so I asked, we had like a family iPad, and so I asked if she could take that instead. And then we got in the car and headed to New York.
Did Jennifer respond to your text message?
No.
So what did you decide to do without her having responded?
I just took the iPad. It was a long car ride.
During the car ride, did you try to communicate with Jennifer?
So right before we left the driveway, I texted her our ETA and that we would be at Gloria's. And then I just started driving. And then I texted her when we got to Gloria's.
Did you ever try to call Jennifer?
Yes, after we got to Gloria's around 2:30, and she wasn't there, and I was supposed to meet Jennifer at Gloria's. I wasn't supposed to go to the orthodontist. I was going to be heading back home, but she wasn't there, and so I called her around 4 o'clock.
And when you say Gloria's, just to refresh everyone's memory, Gloria is Jennifer's mom, is that correct?
Yes.
And she resides in Manhattan?
Yes.
And she has an apartment in Manhattan?
Yes.
And that's where you were supposed to meet Jennifer?
Yep.
Had Jennifer replied to either of your text messages?
No.
Prior to trying to call her?
No, none of them.
If I can pull those up. So, beginning Friday, May 24th at 12:43 p.m. Hello, we're home and eating. Noelle can't find your iPad. Is it okay to take the iPod? Is it okay to take the iPad? And she does not respond, correct?
Yeah.
And then you texted her again, leaving now, ETA is 2:30. And she does not respond, correct?
Yes.
And at 2:30 exactly, you text, just got to Gloria's. Approximately how long after sending that text message did you try to call Jennifer?
I don't remember. I think it was around, it was close to that second, that other text message, will we meet you at the dentist?
And why did you send that message?
Because I hadn't heard from her. So I didn't know if I was going to... I've been to their orthodontist. It says dentist, but it was orthodontist. I've been to the orthodontist before, so I knew where it was, and I've brought them. So I maybe I was going to meet there because maybe her appointments ran longer. I didn't know.
Did you go to the orthodontist with the children?
Yes, I did.
How did you get there?
We took a taxi.
Did Jennifer meet you at the orthodontist?
No, she didn't.
How were you feeling at this time?
Really bad. The second I called Jennifer, it's like my stomach just sank. Because she never not answered her phone. So I was really hopeful that she just got caught up with meetings and she was going to be there. And so when she wasn't there, I just came, I was shocked, but also like, okay, I have the four kids in front of me and don't know what to do. So I just put them in to their appointments and I left, not left, I just walked outside and I started to call people that could have heard from Jennifer.
Who did you call?
Well, I called my mom, who was trying to calm me down and tell me all these things, that I needed to call the hospitals because maybe she was in a car accident. And then I called her friends.
And based on those conversations, what did you do next?
Based on those conversations, I got the kids, they finished their appointment. I got them in the cab and I had Noelle bring Jennifer's iPad or the family iPad, but it was connected to her Google and her Apple ID. And so I decided to bring the kids back to their grandmother's. I went in the cab and I went to her appointment because I was able to pull up her Google calendar and what appointment she had that day. So I went to one of her appointments.
And were you able to make contact with someone at the appointment or at the location of the appointment, I should say?
Yeah, they were able to tell me. I just needed to know if she made it. And they were able to tell me that she didn't.
What did you do next?
I called her friends again, letting them know what was happening. And then I decided to take a cab back to Gloria's. And it was from there that myself and Jennifer's friend Laurel called the police.
Which police department did you call?
New Canaan.
Excuse me. And what information did you give to the police?
What information did this witness give to the police? Overruled.
Your Honor, I'd like to be heard outside the presence of the jury.
Overruled.
Excuse me, Your Honor, I apologize. You can answer the question.
We told the police that a mother of five was missing and that she was in a very contentious divorce. And I knew that he had purchased a gun, and so I was afraid. And they were on it right away.
I don't claim that part.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the portion of the testimony that this witness knew Fotis Dulos purchased a gun is stricken. You may not consider it for any reason.
Did you ever receive any communications from Mr. Dulos that night?
Yes.
What type of communication?
He called me in the evening.
And did you answer the phone?
No.
Why not?
I was afraid.
Did you eventually speak with him?
Yes.
And can you describe that conversation for the jury?
Yeah. So he called me and I called the police because I wasn't sure what to do. And they told me that he's not a suspect, so you should talk to him because I have his kids. And so I decided just to call him back because I didn't want to like anticipate waiting for the phone call. And so I spoke to him and it was a very weird conversation. He asked how the kids were doing, but like didn't talk about Jennifer or really what was going on, just like saying, oh, this is really weird, and immediately went into that he had a supervised visitation that Saturday, I think because it was a Memorial Day weekend, so he had a day, it was like a special thing, and that I needed to make sure that I left New York early enough that I got the kids to him to New Canaan for his supervised visit. And he was just very adamant, like, Lauren, you have to make sure that they're there. They need me. You need to bring them to me, like, be early. And then the conversation ended.
And did you also exchange text messages with us that night?
Yeah.
If I could just pull them up, that's folder two. And once again, were these screenshots from your phone that you shared with the police department?
Yes.
And you indicated to Mr. Doulos at 9:49 p.m. on May 24th, hello, no updates so far. Laurel is at the police station right now keeping me updated, but they don't have anything yet. They looked around the house, but it all seemed fine. I'm trying to get the kids to get some sleep. You sent that message, correct?
Yes.
All right. And his phone responded, okay, thank you. Please call me first thing in the morning. And then you responded, yes, I will. If I hear anything tonight, I'll let you know. Is that correct?
Yes.
And he responds, okay. Other than the phone conversation that you had with him on May 24th that you've already described for the jury, was your additional communication with Mr. Doulos done strictly through text message?
I didn't have any at that time other than that evening. I didn't talk to FOTUS at all.
Well, I'm referring to these messages here that you're seeing. This was after your telephone conversation with him, correct?
Yeah, it was only through text messaging.
If we could just continue on to Friday, May 24th at 11:38 p.m., he asked you, still up, any news? And you responded, no news. They're still searching, though. Got kids to sleep. Is that correct?
Yep.
Continuing on. And then, I'm sorry, could you scroll just to here? Okay. Looks like there's part of a message that's cut off. It says, thank you. Are they okay? Are they worried? And you responded, they're doing okay. They're worried, but I'm trying to just keep them updated as much as I can to keep them at ease. I'm happy they got to bed. So presumably the children had fallen asleep at this point?
I think I was referring to the night before that they got to sleep.
Okay. And then he responds, okay, I will see you guys tomorrow. And you respond, okay, good night. Is that right?
Yeah.
So when he says see you tomorrow, he's referring to Saturday, May 25th, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And that was for his visitation?
Yes.
Were you intending on bringing the children for visitation?
No.
Why not?
I was afraid, and I wanted to keep the kids with myself and Gloria.
Now, on Saturday, May 25th at 5:39 a.m., he texts you GM, which I assume stands for good morning.
Yeah.
Lauren, any news? And you replied, called them at 2:30 and 5:30. No news. They just told me that they're still searching. And he replies, I spoke to an officer at 1 a.m. as well. Is that correct?
Yep.
And then at 10 a.m., he texts you, GM Lauren, again, driving down to NC, which I assume stands for New Canaan.
Yeah.
And then he continues, spoke to Officer Patton. He had no update. How are the children? Children, and you respond, children are doing well, just ate breakfast. And then he asks, are you guys driving to New Canaan? Is that correct?
Yes.
Did you indicate one way or the other whether or not you were driving to New Canaan?
No.
Directing your attention now to the next page. The title is, scroll. FOTUS new phone. At some point, had he reached out to you from a different phone number?
Yes.
And you programmed it in as FOTUS new phone?
Yes.
Okay. And so this is him with, I guess, the initial reach out saying, Lauren, it's FOTUS. How are the children doing?
Yep.
And you said kids are doing okay, getting ready to sleep. And he responds, okay, any updates? You said no, not yet. Is that right?
Yeah.
Directing your attention now to Sunday, May 26th at 10:59 a.m. FOTUS Duelist's new phone texts you, GM Lauren, how are the children? You respond, they're doing fine. And he asks, is Christiane with you or is she still with friends? And you replied, she's with us. Christiane was the child that you had mentioned you had a sleepover. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And how did Christiane come to be with you if she was in New Canaan?
Jennifer's friends picked her up.
And brought her to Gloria's?
Yeah.
And then he asks, okay, good, somebody brought her to you. And you replied, yes. He asks, is she okay? You respond, all are fine. He says, okay, thanks. Any update on Jennifer? You didn't respond to that message. Why not?
I just didn't want to.
Now, on Sunday, May 26th, did you see Mr. Doulos in New York?
Yes.
Where did you see him in New York?
He came to Gloria's apartment in Manhattan.
How did you see him?
Through the window. We saw his car pull up.
And were the police called?
Yes, they were.
Which department responded?
I think it was some precinct, but I don't remember.
The New York Police Department?
Yeah, it was the New York Police Department.
And did you speak with the police?
No, I didn't. Well, in the original phone call to the police?
No, I'm referring to the NYPD.
Oh, when they came to the house, I spoke to them.
Okay, in Gloria's apartment?
Yes.
And did Mr. Doulos ever see the children in your presence that day?
No.
Did there come a point in time when you were asked to review photographs of the garage at 69 Wells Lane?
Yes.
Can you tell the jury when that was?
It was, I believe it was that weekend in Gloria's apartment. The New Canaan police, they came to New York to meet with me and show me pictures.
And I'm just going to show, these were pictures that were taken by the police department. Is that right, Ms. Almeida?
Yes.
Okay. So this is, for the record, this is within State's Exhibit 16. Specifically, this is item number 3. What are we looking at here?
So this would be like where the open bay was, where all their sports stuff was. This shelf in particular was where I kept like their camping stuff and Nerf guns and stuff like that.
Okay. And you had indicated that on Tuesday, May 21st, you had cleaned the garage.
Yes.
Is there anything not visible in this photo that was visible to you on the 21st in this location?
Yeah.
Can you tell the jury what that is?
Those were the camping pillows that they had for their trips.
And where would they have been in this photograph?
They would have been next to the sleeping bags on that second shelf.
Okay. So, and just for the record, there is a shelf and there's two sleeping bags underneath on the second level, and they would have been next to those?
Yes.
Okay. And if we could pull up item number 4.
Oh.
What color were the camping pillows?
They were white.
I'm sorry, I didn't interpret that.
They were white?
So what are we looking at here in item number 4 on that disc?
So these are just more shelves in that third bay where we kept like their sports of equipment and stuff.
And is there anything not visible in this exhibit that you had seen on the 21st?
Yeah, there was a cleaning bucket that I put on that third shelf, so on the bottom.
And was this the cleaning bucket that you described earlier, the red or white bucket?
Yes.
Okay. And directing your attention to the sponge in the photograph, was that on the floor when you cleaned the garage on May 21st, 2019?
No, it was in the cleaning bucket.
Now, did there come a point in time where you and the children were asked to provide DNA samples to the state police as well as fingerprints?
Yes.
Do you recall approximately when that was?
I would say it was like a week or so after we all went to New Canaan. They had an event at their school that day because they didn't go back to school. We stayed in New York this whole time. But we went to New Canaan so they could be a part of this event and then went to the police station to give our fingerprints and DNA.
And have you continued to be the nanny for the Dulos children since May 24, 2019 to the present day?
Yes.
And I think you indicated yesterday that you still live with them?
Yep.
Are you their primary caregiver?
Gloria's their primary caregiver, their grandmother.
Have you seen Jennifer Dulos since May 23rd, 2019?
No.
Have you heard from Jennifer Dulos since those text messages that we saw earlier on May 24th, 2019?
No.
Have you set a moment, Your Honor?
Yes.
I have nothing additional.
Cross examination.
Good morning, Ms. Almeida.
Good morning.
It's actually afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So you started working for the Dulos family in 2012?
Yep.
And then you started working for Four Group in 2013?
Yes.
And that was Fotis's company?
Yes.
Fotis hired you?
Yes.
And the company consisted of home construction?
Yes.
And you worked there in the mornings, either 8:30, 9 o'clock?
Yep.
Until about 2 o'clock?
Yeah, depending on when the kids came out of school.
And during the weekday?
During the weekday, yeah.
And after that, you went to work caring for the Dulos children?
Yes.
The work that you did for Fotis, for Four Group, at first was administrative work?
Yeah.
You'd go to the bank?
Yep.
Sometimes run errands?
Yep.
And at some point, I think you said it came to you doing some punch lists.
Yep.
And that involved you going to people's houses,
mm-hmm.
where you would look at some things that were left undone.
Yes.
Or needed to be fixed.
Yes.
And sometimes you would be responsible for fixing them.
No, not myself.
Okay.
I would be responsible for getting the right person to fix.
Sorry. And was Pavel Gumieni one of those people who would help you fix those things?
Yeah, but it was mostly like the subcontractors. Like if it was something with the paint, the painter would need to come back in. If it was something with the roof would need to be come back.
Did Pavel ever go with you?
Yeah.
Pavel worked for Four Group?
Yeah.
Pavel was an employee of Four Group before you had gotten there in 2013?
Yeah.
And you left in 2017?
Yep.
Pavel still worked for Four Group after you left?
Yeah.
And when you weren't going to the houses to look at what needed to be done or running administrative tasks, you would work at the office?
Yes.
The office was at 4 Jefferson?
Yes.
And that's also the Dulos home?
Yeah.
So the office was in the home?
Mm-hmm.
Can you call up what will be marked Defendants C? I believe there's no objection, Your Honor. If this can be full exhibit.
Yes, I have a copy of the...
Yep. May I have a moment, please, Your Honor?
Yes.
So Judge Turner-Felson is kind enough to show me the thumbnails of what she intends on offering. And I guess I have no objection to what she's identified for me as Defense Exhibit C, D, E, and F and G. So with that.
So is the offer for all of those at this time?
Yes,
C, D, E, F, and G.
Yes, Your Honor.
So Defense C, D, E, F, G admitted as full.
Can you call up what's number one on yours? And Ms. Almeida, if you could turn around, is this for Jefferson?
Yes.
And the office, can you show, do you mind getting up? Can you show the jury where the office is at 4 Jefferson?
Yeah, so the office would be this whole space up here.
Okay. All right, thank you. And can the record reflect that the witness is pointing to the right side of the image of 4 Jefferson above the garage? So it's all the way at one side, the office is all the way at one side of the house?
Yeah.
And it has its own separate entrance?
Yeah, it does. It would be underneath, like where you pull the car in.
Okay. So you can basically go in through the garage?
Yes.
All right. And Bob, can you pull up what's number two? This is Defense Exhibit D. Can you tell the jury what that is?
Yeah, so that's the other side of the garage.
Okay.
So once you drive through, that's what you would be facing.
Okay. And did people who worked at Four Group employees, did they in fact park in that back area that you're looking at?
Yes.
All right. And did you also park in that back area that we're looking at?
Yeah, I did.
All right. Bob, can you pull up number three, which is Defense Exhibit E? And this view, can you tell the jury, is this in fact looking from the vantage point at where the Four Group employees would park in the back of 4 Jefferson?
Yep. Yeah, that was right behind the house. There was a little stone area where you would pull up to park.
Okay. And Bob, can you pull up 4, which is Defense Exhibit F? And do you recognize this picture?
Yeah.
Is it one of the rooms of four group, one of the office rooms?
Yeah.
All right, and that's above the garage?
Yep.
With its own separate entrance. And did you work in this office?
Yes, I did.
Did you actually work at this table or something similar to it at the time back in 2013?
Yeah, I usually sat at that table, and there was a table on this side that I would sometimes sit as well.
And other employees worked there as well?
Yeah.
About four or five, you said?
Yeah.
Was Mr. Doulos, Fotis Doulos, was sometimes there at the office with you?
Oh, yeah.
All right. And he sat at that desk with you?
Yep.
And you worked with him side by side?
Yep.
And you saw him almost daily?
Yeah.
And you had an opportunity to observe him with other employees?
Yes.
Bob, can you call up number five? Showing you defense exhibit G. Is this another room upstairs in Four Group's office?
Yeah, so this is past the room that you just showed.
Okay. And would you also work in this room?
Not usually, because usually that's the room where, like, if he had clients come in, he would use the table there to sit with people and go over things.
So clients would meet at the Four Group office?
Yeah.
And people would come in and out of the office?
Yeah.
Pretty regularly?
Yeah.
And they would enter through the garage?
So it wasn't like inside the garage. You could get to the office that way, but there was an outside door that you could get.
There was a stairwell. That's separate from the house.
That's separate from the house, yes.
Right? People would just go to the office, but wouldn't necessarily walk through the house.
Yeah, yeah.
So people could be there in and out all during the day, but wouldn't at all interact with the people who are inside the home.
Yeah.
You can take that down. Thank you. You talked about some other people who had worked at Four, and you said that Pavel was one of them,
mm-hmm.
and he helped you sometimes.
Yeah.
And there were other people who worked there when you were there from between 2013 to 2017?
Mm-hmm.
I have one moment, please, Your Honor. Your Honor, I'd ask that defense exhibit H be moved in as an exhibit. I don't believe there's any objection.
That's correct, Judge.
The defense H will be admitted at the court.
Bob, can you call up number six? Ms. Almeida, do you recognize some of the people in this photo?
Yeah.
All right. And on the bottom left, is that a photo of Pavel Kamienie?
Yes.
And he was the worker we just talked about who worked at Four Group from before you started in 2013, who remained at Four Group working with Fotis.
Yes.
He worked for Fotis?
Yeah, I think at first he was a subcontractor, and then eventually moved us to an employee.
Okay, did he become a project manager?
Yeah.
All right. And he worked closely with Fotis from what you could observe.
Yeah.
And he interacted with him daily?
Yeah.
All right. How about next, obviously the top left, is that a picture of Fotis Doulos?
Yes.
All right, and you recognize him?
Yeah.
All right, and that's how he appeared to you at times between 2013 and 2017?
Yeah.
All right. And next to Fotis Doulos is Guillaume, is it Vitale?
I think.
I'm not sure. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah.
Right. Did he work at Four Group at the time that you worked there?
Yeah.
And between 2013 to 2017, was he there during that entire period of time?
Yes.
All right. How about Stefan Reich?
Reich? Yeah.
Reich. Mm-hmm. He worked at Four Group?
Yes.
What did Mr. Reich do at Four Group?
He was real estate, so he was an agent, so...
Did he work with Four Group from 2000, 2013 through 2017, to your knowledge?
No, I think he left the company when I was there, but I don't recall when.
Okay.
But I think that they still maybe consulted with each other.
You think they kept in touch?
I think so, yeah.
From a business point of view?
Yeah.
Okay. And how about Matt Byrne?
Yeah.
When to when did Matt Byrne work for Four Group?
So Matt came in after me, but I don't remember the times.
Okay. Was he there when you left in 2017? Was he still working for Four Group?
I think so.
How about on the bottom right, that Ben Corbett? Did he work for Four Group?
He did.
All right. And did he work for Four Group in 2013 when you were working there?
Yeah, but he was younger. He was still in college. So he's finishing college, and he would come back for like summers and breaks, and he was helping not so much like project managing, but like tasks around the company or things like that. Oh. And then I think when he graduated, Fotis offered him a position.
And do you know whether he took it?
He did, yeah.
Okay. And did he also help around with the kids?
Ben, yeah.
All right. Did he also go on vacations?
Yes.
All right. How about Mr. Vitale? Did he also go on vacations with the family ever?
Yeah.
All right. So you can take that down. Thank you. Mr. Doulos had a good relationship with most of his employees, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And he was close with them?
Some of them, yeah.
And spoke to them pretty regularly?
Yeah.
And socialized with them?
Yeah.
For a time, you had a good relationship with him.
I did.
You considered him a mentor?
I did.
All right, so when you left working for Four Group at the end of your work day, you went and cared for the Doulos children?
Yes.
And while doing that, in that capacity, you had an opportunity to observe Fotis Doulos' and Jennifer Doulos' relationship?
Yes.
And you were able to observe it from when you started in 2012?
Yep.
All right. And you always thought that the dynamic between Fotis and Jennifer was odd.
Yeah.
Early on in your employment.
Yeah.
From 2012.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a typical relationship.
I mean, I'm going based on what I grew up with. So to me, no, it wasn't.
Not like anything you've seen before or dealt with before.
Yeah.
In your experience.
In my experience, yeah.
And early on, we're talking 2012, 2013, he took a lot of vacations.
Early on and throughout.
Early on and throughout.
Yeah.
He took vacations with the family.
Yep.
And he took vacations with you as well as the family.
Yep.
And then he took vacations with just you and the kids.
Yep.
Did he ever take vacations with just the kids?
The two older boys.
Okay. And he also went away quite a bit on his own.
Yes.
From early on.
Yes.
And you didn't know where he was going.
No, early on, no, I had no idea.
You didn't know if it was for business?
Nope.
You didn't know if it was a vacation?
Nope.
You didn't know if it was a ski competition?
No, I didn't know.
And you didn't know if he went with anybody?
Early on, no.
And you didn't know if he met anybody when he was on vacation?
No.
All right. And you don't know where he went?
No.
And as part of your observation of their relationship, Jennifer seemed to be totally fine with that.
Yeah, it didn't seem to like bother her so much. And again, I was coming from what I believed. He was away a lot. If that was me, I would probably be like, why are you away a lot? But at that time, again, I was just starting and I was there just once a week and I wasn't as close with them as I became to be.
Understood. And you said you went on vacations with the Doulos family.
Yep.
And sometimes you traveled with Fotis alone.
Yep.
Did you go with Fotis, not alone, but alone
with,
and
the kids? Yeah, with the kids.
Did you go with Fotis alone and with the kids to Greece?
I did.
All right. And did Fotis introduce you to some women friends of his in Greece?
Yes.
And did you ever go alone with Fotis to Miami?
Yes.
And was that prior to or after March of 2017?
Well, so it was March 2017 was the first time that I was, like, alone with him and the kids. He would take trips with the two older boys to Miami just by himself.
But March 2017 was the first time you went with Fotis and the kids to the Miami Ski Club?
Yeah.
And you went several times that week that you were there to the Miami Ski Club?
Yeah.
That's a private club?
Yeah.
Members only?
Yeah.
Do you know if Fotis was a member?
He was.
You said he had a boat?
Yeah.
And all the times that you went with Fotis, the kids also went?
Yeah, I was always with the kids.
But Jennifer never went?
Jennifer never went.
It's about 1 o'clock, Jenny Felsen. We can pick up the direct cross-examination after the lunch and recess. We'll take the lunch and recess, ladies and gentlemen, until 2 o'clock. Please do not discuss the case.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All rise. This Honorable Superior Court now stands in recess until 2. Please.
Now open back. Good afternoon, Your Honor. Good afternoon. Please be seated. Thank you.
Well,
we are not bringing a jury in right now.
Your Honor, if I may, just put something on the record.
Yes.
If I can, Your Honor. When I was en route, myself and Attorney Moran, who is sitting with us from our office assisting in this case, we're en route upstairs. We were on the elevator banks as one of the marshals was bringing two of the alternate jurors back upstairs. When the elevator doors opened, Attorney Moran and myself, when we realized who was inside the elevator, we turned around and immediately walked away. We did not say anything. And the marshal escorting the jurors leaned out and said, "Thanks, Liz, we love you." And the elevator doors closed. So at that point, I immediately came upstairs and informed Attorney Felsen and Attorney Schohorn, as well as the Marshals Service. And I am bringing that on the record now that that exchange happened. No one from the state said anything back. In fact, we walked away quickly when we realized who was in the elevator bank.
Attorney Felsen.
We had some discussion about that. I don't think we need to put a lot on the record. I think it was inadvertent. I understand that the marshals are just going to switch. And I think that the only thing that maybe the court should do is at least advise the jury that any comments they hear in the hallway or the elevators about anybody connected to the case should be disregarded. And I think that that probably would take care of it. I'm not seeking anything more important than that. I'm certain it was inadvertent.
Thank you. First, the court will address the supervising marshal in the courtroom. No marshal is to comment at any time on the case or any individuals involved in the case, or comment on the court, and no marshal is to have any conversation with individuals, specifically counsel and the staff of the state attorney's office, or the staff or counsel for the defense in the presence of any juror. Now, what has happened today
is the court agrees with Attorney Schoenhorn, inadvertent. Attorney Moran is not conducting any cross-examination or direct examination. She is assisting counsel in the presentation of the exhibits. The court is not convinced that the comment from the marshal will lead the jury to, or those jurors who heard it, to opine about the nature of the state's case or the nature of the defense. If the comments had concerned perhaps Attorney McGinnis or Attorney Manning and had been of the tenor, "We love you, you're doing a great job, keep it up," that's a different story. But as of right now, the court thinks any opinion formed by alternate jurors based on the comment to Attorney Moran is of little effect. But the court will address the jury when they come in.
There is one other matter, Judge, that I need to raise at this time, and I'm doing it at the earliest moment before the jury comes in. One of the reasons we file our motions in limine is so that issues that are potentially prejudicial and require some deliberation on the court are heard in advance outside the jury's presence. So when the current witness, Ms. Almeida, was on the stand, we were aware of, we had listened to the 911 calls. We were aware of the highly prejudicial nature of some of her comments that were clearly hearsay. And I note specifically that we were aware and the state was aware of our concern about the issue of a mention that at some point Mr. Doulos had purchased a firearm. Firearm that he then disposed of years ago as part of a divorce case. So when that was said, Your Honor, we tried, Attorney Felsen tried to get this decided so that the witness would be admonished outside the presence of the jury. There are cases such as State versus Onofrio in 179 Connecticut, State versus Girolamo, G-I-R-O-L-A-M-O in 197 Connecticut, State versus Williams in 182 Connecticut, where those cases say that evidence about guns, where that is where firearms is not a part of the case, is particularly inflammatory and will have, and can have an effect on the jury's judgment. It awakens sympathy, passions, and influences the judgment of the jury and cannot be considered harmless. Based on that, Your Honor, and I'm reluctant to do this, but I'm making a motion for a mistrial.
The motion's denied. The court received a motion in limine this morning. If the defense had indicated in the motion in limine exactly what this witness may say that was prejudicial concerning guns or the purchase of guns, it should have appeared in the motion. That would have alerted the court to the nature of the hearsay. But a general motion in limine to preclude hearsay is not enough for this court to grant a blanket motion without having some roadmap as to what the highly prejudicial nature of the testimony would be.
Your Honor, it had to do with the motion yesterday regarding marital discord. That was where the court would not entertain a proffer about what issues would or would not be allowed in and would hear them as they arose. And that's what I'm referring to more so than the fact that this witness was allowed to testify about her conversations to the police, which is also, I note, testimonial in nature.
Well, a general motion in limine about marital discord does not lead to this court considering
testimony about a gun. And so motion for marital discord generally may involve contention, arguments, physical assaults, but not the purchase of the gun. So the court is not on notice from a motion to preclude testimony about marital discord that there may be evidence of a gun. And again, the motion in limine filed today mentions nothing about a firearm or a purchase of a firearm. So the court has no idea as to what the prejudicial, unfairly prejudicial nature of the testimony would be. Can bring the jury in. Counsel stipulate to the presence of all of the jurors.
Yes, Judge. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, it was brought to the court's attention that there may have been a number of you, perhaps the court should say, a few of the alternate jurors who may have heard, overheard a comment from one of the marshals who have been assigned to this case. And that comment was directed towards Attorney Moran, who is sitting behind counsel table, sitting behind attorneys Manning and McGinnis. And that comment was directed towards her, but it was probably overheard by one or more of the alternate jurors. And that comment was essentially a complimentary comment to Attorney Moran. It was brought to the court's attention that that comment may in some way be perceived as an opinion by one of the marshals as to the strength of the state's case. The court is not convinced that that comment was an endorsement of the strength of the state's case. Nevertheless, what the court will do is indicate to you that if you hear any comment from any of the court staff concerning any other participant in the trial, or the nature of the state's case, or the nature of the defense case, first, if you overhear it, and you think it needs to be brought to the attention of the court, it should be brought to the attention of the court. Secondly, if you think it probably means very little or has little effect, just ignore it. However, any comment that would suggest that the strength of the state's case or the strength of the defense case is being articulated in your hearing, that should be brought to the attention of the court. Thank you. We can bring the witness back in. You may proceed, Kelly.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon again.
Hi.
We were talking about the Miami Ski Club, I think, when we were last here. The Miami Ski Club is a water ski club.
Yeah.
And it's members only.
Yes.
Private?
Yes.
And FOTUS had a membership there?
Yes.
Do you know for how long FOTUS had that membership?
I'm not exactly sure.
But FOTUS had been traveling down to Miami for some time?
Yes.
Alone?
Yes.
And with the kids?
Yes.
For years?
Yeah.
And FOTUS water skied?
Yes.
Competitively?
Yes.
You describe him as very competitive?
Yes.
And not just in water skiing?
With everything.
Everything. Had he been water skiing since when you first met him?
Yeah.
And he taught the kids to water ski?
Yeah.
And they all water skied?
They all water skied, yeah.
Some of them competitively?
Yes.
They had won medals?
Yes.
Did he teach you to water ski too?
He did.
All right. And I think he also taught you how to drive the boat?
Yep.
When you went to the Miami Ski Club in March of 2017 and you met Michelle?
Yes.
For the first time?
Yes.
And you met her daughter as well. Her daughter was there?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'd move into evidence defendants. I changed the numbers a little bit. It's I-1 through I-4, I believe, without the state's objection.
That's correct, Judge.
The defendants I-1 through 4 admitted as full exhibits.
And can you pull up Bob I-4, please? Thank you. Ms. Almeida, do you recognize some of the people in this picture?
Yes.
Is FOTUS in this picture?
Yes.
Is Michelle in this picture?
Yes.
And the Dulos children?
Not all of them.
Okay, but some of the Dulos children are in the picture?
It looks like two of them.
Okay. And do you recognize Michelle's daughter in that picture?
Yes.
All right. And is that at the Miami Ski Club?
I think so. It's kind of hard to tell.
Do you remember if you took the picture or not?
No, I don't remember.
Okay. But you had been at the Miami Ski Club before?
Yes.
All right. And you recognize FOTUS and Michelle in this picture?
Yes.
All right. And at least two of the Dulos children and his, Michelle's daughter?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Was Michelle at the ski club every time that you were there when you went there in March of 2017?
No, I don't think so.
All right. How many times did you go there that week?
To be honest, I don't really remember.
But you went frequently?
Yeah, the reason for that trip was so that they could water ski.
Okay, so I'm assuming you went every day.
Yeah, we probably went mostly every day.
All right. And you were there for lengthy periods of time?
Yeah.
And Michelle was there several of the times at least?
Yeah.
All right. And she was interacting with FOTUS?
Yep.
And the kids?
Yeah.
And they seemed familiar with her?
Some of the kids.
All right. And you observed that? It was in front of you?
Yes.
It wasn't being done in private or in secret?
No.
And I think you mentioned you spoke to Michelle?
Yep.
And she told you that she intended to move to Vail, Colorado with her daughter?
Yes.
Do you know, in fact, whether she did that at any point in time?
I don't know.
There's more to come at the Michelle Trokinas trial in the Jennifer Farber Dulos case. The mystery deepens and justice seeks its course. Press subscribe now and stay tuned for more episodes unraveling the truths behind the most perplexing criminal cases from true crime today.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's. Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.